True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
These names and ask yourself if it makes sense. Does it make sense that Josh Allen has more rushing touchdowns than Ricky Williams ever did? And now he's tied with Todd Gurley. Does that make sense that Allen and Todd Gurley have the same number of rushing touchdowns? 67. Next up is Eddie George, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Thomas Jones sitting there at 68. Come on.
He's coming for them all.
Come on. Eric Wood with us on the Wester Hotline. How about you with that, Eric? Does it kind of blow your mind to think that Allen is passing these great, all-time great running backs in this category? Come on.
Yeah, it is kind of mind-boggling. Especially when a lot of them played, it wasn't as many quarterbacks taking it into the end zone with their legs as there are now. So, yeah, it's I guess, more surprising from that aspect of it.
Todd Gurley didn't get vultured too many times by Jared Goff or Nick Foles, Case Keenum. I guess you're right about that. So, yes.
Right.
Well, last night, Eric, were you thinking comeback? As the fourth quarter was playing out, you're in the stadium, you're seeing the fans leave. That had to be a sight to see for this team in recent years. It's very rare, of course. Did you, I mean, as a former player too, because I wonder your perspective on how the players have to be thinking where the game might, to us, feel like it's over, but really isn't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at this point I can have a different feeling than when I was playing. When you're playing, it's, hey, we got another series. Who knows what's going to happen? As I was sitting there watching from the booth last night, I was thinking this game's over. We're not going to be able to get multiple stops here. You know, we failed on these two-point conversion attempts that we really needed. You know, now it's probably out of reach. But in the NFL, anything can happen. And you get that fumble, which I think was the biggest play of all of it. You get that fumble by Ed Oliver. And then all of a sudden, now you're right back in it and you get a stop. And it's easy to say, hey, let's run out the clock. And, you know, the Bills struggled against the run so bad against the Ravens, but when you know they're going to run the football in every play and there's not the element of the play action or not likely the element of the play action, then it becomes easier to stop. And John Harbaugh's got a crazy track record of blowing these two-score leads. And, you know, maybe he gets too much of the blame and the players or coordinators deserve more of it, but ultimately it falls on the head coach because he's been the common denominator. And so, all that being said, yeah, me and Chris were going through, you know, it's been, you know, 13 straight games since the Bills have lost at home. They haven't given up 40 points since 2022. And we're kind of going through all that. And then here come the Bills roaring back and shocked us all.
I know from following you on social media, Eric, that you were impressed with Ed Oliver. And good for him that he got that big play that they needed. They really – I mean, any team is going to tell you they want turnovers, and there's even situations in games where you need one, and that sure as heck felt like one with their inability to really stop them consistently anyways. Like, the turnover was exactly what you needed in a short field, and Oliver makes that play and kind of, I don't want to use the phrasing, that puts a cherry on top, but he had a very strong game. Even though they got gashed, he made good plays all night, I thought.
He did. He had multiple tackles for loss. He had a hit on the quarterback. He had a sack earlier in the game. I believe he had six solo tackles, which is really strong for a defensive tackle. A lot of times those guys are eating up blockers at the line of scrimmage, and you know, they might get credit in the film room for one of the linebackers making a play because they ate up a couple guys. Well, you get six solo tackles as a defensive tackle. That's pretty impressive. And then he obviously gets the forced fumble. And I thought, in watching back some clips and some of the film today, it just seemed like he was playing at a different intensity than most others on the field defensively, and then kind of different than I've seen him play at times. You know, his kind of MO is, you know, he shows up in, you know, big time, you know, prime time games during the season, hasn't done a whole lot in the playoffs, and I'm hoping he can bring some consistency to this season, because when he plays like he does last night, he's one of the better defensive tackles in the league. And, you know, we'll see different tests this week, different tests each and every week. You know, the weakness of this Ravens offense is likely their two guards. And so we'll see if he can put it together this week. But you also have to take advantage of those mismatches, and not many others did. So give Ed Oliver credit to playing a heck of a game last night.
Eric, going back to some of the moments here late in the game last night, you mentioned the Henry fumble. That's preceded by a Lamar Jackson 13-yard run. It's a sticking point with me as being such a fan of his. In these losses, and some have been in the playoffs, he just isn't, like, wouldn't their best, if it's not Derrick Henry off tackle, wouldn't Lamar Jackson, or just the threat of a Jackson run be the thing you'd be afraid of? And again, in that series where they end up punting, nothing. Henry run, and then a jet sweep with Flowers. Milano swallows him up. And then the pass to Hopkins, and Oliver wrecks Jackson on that play. And people were pointing out, maybe they, I'm like, you got to go for it here. Maybe they just weren't able to do that because of how he felt or something. I mean, if you ask me, taking the timeout if I have to, whatever. Like, just, punting is just the worst option, I think. But there's that too. And Eric, the Bills, I mean, compared to the Ravens, and we've seen it when they've been on the same field, they don't make the mistakes the Ravens do, whether that's mental or something else. And they have all their timeouts to be able to use all three on that series, never, or rarely at least, wasting them on, you know, they only have 10 guys on the field or some random thing that can happen in a game. But very often, maybe I would say most of the time, when the Bills need their timeouts, they have them. Well, I mean, that wasn't so amazing of a commentary by me to leave Eric speechless, but I mean, I've done better.
Well, they really were buttoned up yesterday, and like, not that it's the hardest thing to do, but and we all know. I don't know. Do you know? Maybe you do. While we're waiting to get Eric back, if Coleman was asked what he would have done if Alexander didn't clip his foot there on that last reception that preceded the field goal, because they kneeled after that play. And
would he have gone in?
Yeah. If he eludes that tackle, there's no one on the screen. Like, he's waltzing into the end zone there if he wants to. I wonder if he would have known to sit down there, because obviously you score there, that's nice, you've got the lead, and I don't even think, what is it, it's a two-point game at that point?
Yeah.
So a field goal isn't even going to beat you, but still, you're going to give them the ball back, and you wanted to avoid that. I just wonder if Coleman would have known enough to get down there if he had eluded that tackle.
Eric, I don't know what you heard or missed, but I was talking about the Bills having their timeouts. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I heard all that, and somehow I got cut off where you guys couldn't hear me. Anyways, yeah, I mean, when you have – my point that I was trying to make was, when you have sustained success that the Bills have had, you likely do a lot of the little things like that, right? You don't waste your timeouts. You know, you get the play calls in on time so that you don't have to waste the timeout in those incidents. And, like, are the Bills perfect in that regard? No. But more often than not, they're so worried about end-of-half, end-of-game situations that they're going to be on their stuff to be able to avoid wasting timeouts in those situations. And so, yeah, definitely played a factor there at the end. And then, you know, getting later in the game, you make Baltimore by Keon Coleman getting tripped up, which I hope he would have gone down at the one.
Sorry, regardless. I was just mentioning.
I was getting really close to the Micah Hyde running back the onside kick, get down, the game's over, against the Dolphins a few years ago that I did on the broadcast, and everyone roasted me on social media for being a party pooper, but it's just what you should do in that situation and ice the game. But regardless, you know, Keon Coleman goes down that instance, and you're able to make Baltimore burn all their timeouts and not let them have a shot to win the game with a touchdown.
Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Bills over the Ravens, 41-40. Scoregami, first ever game in NFL history by that score. I mean, it doesn't really even need to be said, I guess, but the magnitude of that win in the standings, potentially. Like, these two teams, Kansas City loses, Cincinnati 7 yards in the second half against the Browns. Denver didn't look good. Houston didn't look good. Miami, and for that matter, New England, looked bad, too. I mean, you know, it's too early to assume too much, I guess. But their next eight opponents are all 0-1, Eric. And Dolphins and the Saints coming up here after this Jet game, I don't know. Like, this game could end up being just massive in the end. I mean, even if they did have a harder schedule, that could still be true.
No, I agree. Yeah, this is going to be a crucial win. And, you know, likely Kansas City towards the end and potentially however this all shakes out. But, you know, when you're talking about home field advantage in the playoffs, that's a massive game. And, I mean, it's just, you know, we all have this warm and fuzzy feeling today, and it's amazing, you know, how bleak it was with less than 5 minutes to go in the game.
Something that has stood out already just early on in our show anyway, talking about this game, Eric, is how electric, how excellent the Bills' downfield passing game was once they got to it when they really needed to, because they were as behind as they were. Did you think that early on it was a little too much of the behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, that kind of that quick hitting stuff that we saw some of last year? I wonder if there weren't opportunities to do more of what they did in the fourth quarter earlier in the game, and if they learned maybe like exactly who Josh Palmer is, and maybe Coleman emerging in the fourth quarter like he did. I read he was targeted 10 times in the fourth quarter, only one prior to that, but still ends up being a big stat line for him in this game. I'm just wondering if the Bills maybe need to get to that sort of offense maybe a little sooner in games.
I think so, and I'm not sure if Josh got the checkdowns or if he checked to maybe some of those wide receiver screens because they thought they saw blitz, and then you get it out on the perimeter easily, and based on the blitz, those wide receiver screens in theory should work better as everyone's up the field. I'm not sure on that, whether it's play call, decision making by Josh, or whatever it may be, coverage dictating it. Regardless, on the first drive of the game, he takes a shot down the field to Shakir, sails it just over him, and almost gets intercepted. He has the strike for 15 yards for the touchdown to Dalton Kincaid, and then I believe he missed Palmer down the field on one. But those were really the only like times that in the first half we really pressed the ball down the field, especially something that wasn't off script. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do think they need to get to that, and that's something they talked about heading into the offseason. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at their press conferences at the end of the season was developing a more consistent downfield passing game, and we got to it. It was just late in the game. And so, you know, like I said, I don't want to point fingers and say, mm-hmm. you know, Joe Brady dialed up zero shots in this one. A lot of times when you go back and look at the film, which I haven't had the opportunity to yet, I haven't gotten the chance, I haven't been exposed to it yet,
right.
The full all 22 copy. But a lot of times, you know, you have a 50, whatever it may be, Josh is trying to take what they give him. And, you know, late in the game when you have to make those plays, Josh looks at it and says, well, I think I can make that throw, and he does.
Come on, Eric. It's like the next day. You haven't watched the All-22 yet? You had to fly home, probably have other commitments. You haven't gotten around to that yet?
I haven't got to it yet. And this year, and normally I do watch some film before this because we did the chopping wood for the Sean McDermott show, but this year it's going to be more just dialogue between me and Steve and not breaking down the film. So, So all that being said,
an example.
I don't want to say I'm unprepared because I watched every bit of the game with almost the best all 22s you could possibly get in our our broadcast booth, which sits right midfield, halfway up. It's my favorite. Even if I wasn't in the booth, that's where I'd want to watch the game from. And but just real quick, circling back to that, I felt like early on it just seemed like they were daring the Bills to run the football or throw those short passes by playing a little bit off and saying, you know, we're going to keep everything in front of us and rally to the football.
So what do you make of the defense last night? Yes, it's the Ravens. We've seen Derrick Henry do that kind of damage before, and Lamar Jackson. But, Eric, it came especially easy to Baltimore. I mean, their drives were so quick, short. I mean, just huge chunks on their running game. Was there a tactical change made that you would have that you'd want to point out, or just what you might have been thinking and saying watching them struggle so badly to stop the Ravens? And I mean, Zay Flowers ends up with the wide receiver one of the week in fantasy too. He had a big night.
Yeah, it seemed like a combination of a lot of things. At times, it looked like their offensive line was getting the better of our defensive line. At times, it looked like either the second or third level of the defense wasn't fitting the holes properly, that just let Derrick Henry just hit these big holes with a full head of steam. And at that point, just look out. You know, the book on Derrick Henry is get him to stutter his feet in the backfield. And it's when you're 250 pounds, it's hard to stop and start that quickly. Well, we didn't make him stutter in the backfield very often. And so, you know, it's a combination of all three levels. You know, I've seen a bunch of stuff on social media, people point out bad angles by the safeties, and look, they didn't get a lot of time during training camp. They didn't get a lot of reps. They barely played in the preseason games, and so there might be some growing pains. You start a late round draft pick rookie at corner who seemed to be fine last night. No huge blunders by any means, but inexperience, and you just have a lot of that. And then I will say this, early on in the game, the Ravens have a long drive. They get a sack. They hold them to a field goal. Bills go three and out back-to-back drives. That's really tough on a defense. I mean, especially a defense like the Ravens. So then the second series of the game, the Bills start with their backup defensive line in because their starters were just in there. And I don't know, it's kind of like that ripple effect that we talk about often. It's like the offense keeps going three and out. And yes, you'd love to say, hey, defense, go out there and you get a three and out. But when you're on the sideline, you have a full off season to game plan for a defense. They're trying to figure out what Baltimore's doing to them. Oh, everybody hurry up. Get off the bench. Here we go. We're back out there. That's a tough I'm not making excuses for them. But, you know, the complimentary football that Sean McDermott often talks about wasn't quite there. And the Bills go three and out back-to-back times. And the Ravens get two of their touchdowns off of those three and outs.
Eric, how about Matt Prater? You never had the experience of being, well, I mean, you were a new guy when you got drafted, but you played your career here. You didn't join a new team, you know, 3 days before the opener or anything. You never had that experience. Here's Prater, comes across the country, doesn't know how long he'll be here, but nails everything, including, you know, that game winner. I mean, it's a guy that has obviously plenty of experience in the league, so it's not new to him, but still it's got to be quite a whirlwind to show up in a place like this with this fan base and have the opportunity to make that kick like he did.
Yeah, what an opportunity. 3 days later, you got a chance to go solidify the win in what's likely going to be one of the favorite Bills memories for the entire fan base, one of the most, maybe the most memorable game of the whole season when you consider that the entire country was tuned in on Sunday Night Football. But and you could blow it all. It could all be for nothing if you don't make that field goal. I tried to look it up, and I think I got the correct stat that he had 23 game-winning field goals prior to that one. So not an unfamiliar situation for him. And I'd assume if he's 41 years old and teams are signing him, he's probably a pretty good dude in the locker room and obviously good at his job to stick around that long. But, yeah, I'm impressed that he was able to, one, perform the way he did, two, impressed by the Bills that they didn't say, oh, you know, this guy was a six-round rookie. He just got cut by this team. He's got super high potential. Well, this team doesn't need potential right now. We need somebody that can come in and look like he's been there before, and that's exactly what he did last night.
Which is, you know, brings the Ravens to mind with their kicker, Tyler Loop, who made 4 out of 5 but missed an extra point. Or was it 4 out of 5 extra points? Maybe it was. I mean, they lost by one. Well, we won't talk again until this game on Sunday. The Jets lost to Pittsburgh, but had almost a shockingly good day offensively. This was the game with the lowest point total in Vegas, something around 37, and the game ends 34-32, Pittsburgh over the Jets. I'm not sure if you got to watch any of it. Maybe you did, as it was in the early afternoon. What are your thoughts on them? Justin Fields, good start. Breece Hall, all of it.
Yeah, Justin Fields, a good start. No surprise to you in your fantasy football projection.
Thank you.
But it's going to be a similar test to last week. Not quite as much talent on the field, but you have a mobile quarterback. You have pretty good running backs, and they're going to test the Bills similar to ways that Baltimore did, because it's a copycat league. Now, they're not as good as Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and that crew, but they have some talent on that side of the football. They're young. They're hungry. Aaron Glenn, their head coach, seems to, I was watching the game, and he's, you know, getting the guys going. They seem to be playing with maybe more effort than they did at times under Saleh. So, you know, you go on the road, division game. Early in the season, especially new head coach, you know, not, obviously no one wants to start 0-2, but you get more confidence when you got a new coach and you think, okay, maybe this is our year. We just played the Steelers tough. Maybe they're going to be really good. And, you know, so we'll see. But I'd imagine the Bills are going to get a tough test this weekend, because they're going to try and pound the ball out on the ground, see if the Bills can make a couple of mistakes, and hopefully the Bills can just take care of business.
How much of it all, Eric, is it a challenge for a team to let go of such a dramatic – I mean, I know how the – you know, we've heard some – from some fans already today. I know how I'm feeling. It's so exhilarating to win a game like that that's already being talked about as potentially, I mean, we'll see what the rest of the season looks like, but it's a game of the year candidate, and it's only, you know, week one here. It's not just your average win, you know, to win it that way. And I just wonder if there's, like, you know, a valley you have to be prepared to handle emotionally.
That's a great question. And I'm not trying to cut out by saying I don't really know. We didn't have monster wins. That, you know, we had the one win against New England to get to 3-0, and you know, we had win to get in the playoffs and all that. So being a little facetious there, but you know, Sean McDermott's going to understand that. Yes, they're probably still on a high from last night today, and that's okay. We always say the 24-hour rule. You know, enjoy it or be down in the dumps for a day, and that's okay. But you got 24 hours, and then we're going to rebound and, whether good or bad, start preparations for our next opponent. And so I'm sure Sean will be on them all week, understanding that, you know, that was one game against the Ravens. And coming up, you have a divisional game, which is, in theory, more important than the previous one. And it'll be an 0-1 team that's ticked off. Every time we've played these guys recently, they've gotten fights. And I just looked, and Michael Clemens is still on the roster, so we'll have to keep Deion Dawkins in check, because – Deion, 73-72, will be fighting a good amount on Sunday, I'm sure.
Eric, thanks for this. Glad to have you back this year, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. Always great talking with you guys.
Thank you.
There you go. Eric Wood's appearance here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Allen just does not make the mistakes other good or even great quarterbacks in this league make mentally. Like, Fields had a terrific day. Everybody knows how athletic he is. He's not always impressed as a passer, but he had his moments yesterday. Game on the line, down two, and he throws that hospital ball to Garrett Wilson when he could have easily run for the first down there. It's so easy watching on TV, but it's just like, we don't have these debates about, well, in the playoffs a couple times, I guess, but it just seems, even Lamar Jackson in this game last night leaves you, well, why did they just do this here? Armchair quarterback stuff, that it feels like Allen, who we watch more often than anybody else, doesn't really avail you to that. I mean, just so heady, in addition to being so excellent in so many other ways. 803-0550. We'll get back to your calls after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lamar, did you have a say on that 4th and 3, or were you in coach's ear at all?
No, I was cramping, so that's why I pretty much hauled out the field, because if I wasn't, I would leave everybody in here know I would have been trying to go for a 4th and 3.
Yeah, Jackson takes a hit on the third down pass to Hopkins, final offensive series of the game for the Ravens, as it turns out, and it never looked like there was any, I mean, I wasn't in the stadium, but that there was any sort of movement toward going there. I don't know. It's like, it's not because it's the Bills that won. It's just, you lose a game like that, it's the bigger story, right? I mean, you should not lose a game that you mm-hmm. lead by 15. No one's ever done it before in regulation with
right.
that big a lead and that little time left. I mean, so go figure. But that sequence, I just would hate it if we were talking about the Ravens instead. I mean, Henry on the first down, what are you going to say? It's killing the Bills all night. I don't think it's a mistake
to
run Derrick Henry off tackle. The Flowers jet sweep, I'm thinking 4 downs. Maybe John Harbaugh isn't, but I'm thinking I'm not giving this dude the ball back, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to win the game with my offense, which has been unstoppable. And the Flowers play, of course, easier to say with hindsight, the Flowers play has the much greater possibility of a negative play. And, you know, maybe he breaks it. You don't need him to break it. You need 10 yards and 4 downs.
Right.
And Milano takes him down. Like, that's a zero or maybe one. And now I'm 3rd and long. And, you know, you can justify throwing a pass there, which they did. But I need to get to 3rd and 5. I need to get to 3rd and 4. And the Flowers call is the problem for me, because then you just had a bigger risk of, you know, negative. They had a Justice Hill play early in the game. It was a huge negative play. Like, that can happen on that jet sweep. It's more of a, you know, a gamble. And just, you know, it wasn't a loss, but it was enough of a stop, mm-hmm. I think, to really put the Ravens in tough. And instead you get to, what, 4th and 3 after the Hopkins play, and Jackson is like bent over.
Right. He did get hammered on the play, but he just says there, right? Did I hear that correctly? I was cramping.
Yeah.
And like that, so maybe that, you know, I don't know if that was, you know, cramps aren't necessarily caused by big hits, but still the combination of the big hit, he's cramping, like we're not going to go for it. But I don't know, didn't you say already earlier, call timeout and just try, because even if I was thinking about this, like I this has never been my mountain to climb, but you know, I you dragged me with you at times early on in our relationship, kicking and screaming, but we got there eventually. I'm watching that thinking, wait, right, at least if you give them the ball there, right, it's a minute 26 when they punt, right? So if they run a play and don't get it, worst case scenario probably is the Bills play conservative to get a field goal, and there's time left, maybe. They're not going to have a minute and 20 to drive the field on you, so the moment where they're going to kick is going to come sooner. You might get the ball back with, you know, some time left.
Ooh.
But if you're kicking it away, you're kicking away, you're probably never getting the ball back.
Right.
If the Bills execute, and of course they did. They were running really hot at that point. So, I mean, with the short field there, where were they? Their 38-yard line, I think, is where they are.
That's right.
Right? So, you know, the Bills can't exactly just kneel and kick there. But I doubt that they're going to successfully run a minute and 20 off the clock. Right? I mean, Baltimore still has the timeouts. It was weird to me. Like, because I would think the thing you'd want is to try to get the ball back with 30 seconds and go try to win it after the Bills go ahead.
I don't know. I don't really see it that way. I mean, I think the game is either, you're either going to lose or you're going to stop them. You know, I think it's 80 yards to the end zone. It's what, 30 to 40 to field goal range, or not 30, but 40 to 50 to field goal range. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I always like the point, too, that if you go for it and fail, that's less time that your opponent needs to do whatever it is they're going to do. But you're almost putting them in field goal range if you do that.
Sure.
I would have gone for it. Easy to say. That's irrespective of what Jackson's condition.
That's
was.
Entirely my point here, is that the Bills would not have had the opportunity to run the clock all the way down. Probably.
Had they gone for it and missed.
Had they gone for it and missed. You're there. Maybe they get to your 20 and they kick, and there's going to be some time left.
That's right. Probably.
So, all the more
reason. I thought you were talking about after the punt, but you're saying instead of the punt.
Instead of the punt, yeah. That's all the more reason to go for it, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Here is Brandon next. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. So, guys, I love your show. You guys are awesome. I always listen to you.
Thank you.
Two questions. The first question is, I know kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse, but what does last night's game kind of have for the number one seed now with the Chiefs losing? The Chiefs still, I mean, they're a toss-up, honestly. I don't think they're as great as everybody thinks they are. And then, you know, now with beating Baltimore, I mean, how is that going to kind of play out the rest of the year? And then my next question is Joey Bosa. I thought he played good. I know he got beat twice yesterday, or two or three times. He wasn't keeping contained. And after that, do you think it was McDermott that said something to him, or do you think his veteran presence and his experience kind of kicked in? Because the rest of the game, I thought he played great. And I just wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts were on that. Go Bills. Love you guys. I hope you guys are on forever. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate all that.
I wouldn't know. I don't know. I could know, but I don't know.
On Bosa? Yeah. 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 I did like him. I even would say, like, getting burned in the backfield by Lamar Jackson when it looks like you've got him sewn up, I feel like is still a very good sign. Like, you don't want to get – Lamar Jackson's going to make a lot of defensive ends miss in the open field like that. So the fact that he's there and was creating the pressure, like most guys, even Fields, is not as elusive as Lamar Jackson. He's a very good runner, but he's not Lamar Jackson level. I don't know, maybe he's closer than I'm even saying, but still, I think it's good. I liked Bosa, and I liked that he was there for the opportunity to make those plays. Yes, he had some gas. He bit hard on a couple of fakes and got exposed. But I thought overall it was a decent performance from him. Which is, I don't know, maybe I got to slow down on praising guys on this defense that gave up 40 points, because we're talking to Eric Wood last segment, Ed Oliver had a really good game. So, you know, how many guys could have had a really good game when you got stampeded like that? So, anyway, I liked Bosa mostly. What was the first part of the guy's call?
It's week one, and obvious that it's so early that it's not worth, like, getting into math or anything when it comes to this, but because of the schedules that the Chiefs and the Ravens are facing, the Bills have an extremely good opportunity to open up a lead for the one, unless somebody else comes calling, which is possible. Maybe that's the Chargers, who beat Kansas City, and their schedule early, at least, is not as daunting, or overall. Maybe it's Pittsburgh, right? I mean, that Aaron Rodgers' name has not come up yet today, but that's a very good day. Jets are respectable defensively. Maybe it's them. I think with the Chiefs going...
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Philadelphia in week two, Baltimore itself in week four, Detroit, Washington, all before they even come here in week nine. Good luck, especially if they're down Worthy, and we know they're down Rice for six games. I mean, what's next? So never count them out, but that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore has Detroit and Kansas City in the next few weeks, and they have the Rams. You know, not as obvious maybe as the Kansas City schedule is, but not easy.
Yep.
So I think if the Bills are the Bills, they have a pretty good chance to get to week nine even undefeated. I mean, that's how it looks. I mean, the schedule is very soft compared to those other teams. So it's possible that in a month they're going to look like they're already in great shape for the one. And, you know, I'm obviously presuming a lot. It's too early to talk like this.
Yeah, but one of the first thoughts I had, even, you know, really right after Friday night, is with the caller. Like, you can't, like, start thinking about the tiebreakers and any of the stuff that we get to in December. But make everybody chase you. And you know, there's other teams, like you said, somebody else could show up. But if you're focused on Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo as the top three teams in the conference, which I still am, then as soon as Kansas City lost Friday night, the anxiety I felt for the Bills to get this win amped up, because they have not, they've been mostly chasing Kansas City in these seasons. Eventually, I don't know that they've never been in the one hole themselves after a week of games, but they've mostly been chasing the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't lose last week until they came here, until they came here. So at least for a week, you're in the pole position, and you know, it'd take a lot maybe to hold it all year, but you've got a leg up on the two teams that I think you should still be most worried about, and that's not nothing.
Maybe it's the Colts.
Narrator.
First,
it's not the Colts.
First team since 79 to score on every possession. What a performance by the Dolphins. The Colts are not getting respect for what they did. The Broncos are favored in Indianapolis in week two. So not that much respect anymore. We're not overreacting as a society to what Indianapolis looked like. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this timeout here on WGR.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.